the core of my book, is trying to understand why violence continues despite the peace process and despite the massive international efforts at trying to build peace. The first part of the answer is that violence continued mostly because of the persistence of local conflict, which remain unaddressed. And when I say local, I really mean at the level of the individual, the family, the clan, the village, the municipality, the district, sometimes the ethnic group. And the second part of my answer is trying to understand why international peace builders have only rarely targeted local conflict and why they have let this local violence continue and escalate and jeopardize everything that was achieved throughout the years. And what I found is that there is an international peace building culture that is shared by members of the United Nations, of various foreign ministries, of many NGOs, and that this peace building culture precludes international action at the local level.
I mean, you mean that just their way of approaching peace building was something that just was so out of sync with what the culture was in the Congo?
Exactly. For example, it's the way of understanding the violence. Diplomats and UN officials and the staff of most non-governmental organizations interpret fighting and massacres as the consequence of top-down problem. So, for example, that will be manipulation by national leaders or manipulation by international foreign armed groups. And they view local conflict as negligible and as irrelevant. And also what I call the dominant peace-building culture shapes the way international actors conceive of their roles. So, for example, it constructs intervention at the national and international levels as the only natural and legitimate task for interveners. And I'm not arguing for international interveners to be involved directly at the local level. Rather, what I'm saying is that we should support local actors. We should step back, put local actors in the driver's seat, and enable them to decide which conflicts they want to address and how they want to do that.
So does this apply to countries outside the Congo?
It does. It does. There has been a lot of research recently on what we call micro-level dynamics of violence by people such as Tatis Kalivas and a group of researchers at Yale University. And they have shown that local conflict and micro-level causes of violence are extremely important in most war and post-war situations. So it applies in Afghanistan, it applies in Iraq, it applies in Somalia, it applies virtually, in most conflict and post-conflict situations.
Wow, so do you think people from the UN and the State Department are taking any of this advice under consideration?
In the past few years, I've had a number of discussions, one-on-one or group discussions with people from the UN and from the State Department, and some of them were convinced by my analysis and they were trying to brainstorm on how to implement my policy recommendations, and some of them were very reluctant to do that, and they were very opposed to what I had to say.
Why do you think that is? I mean, do you think it's easier for people to approach what they know, right? And I would say, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd say here in the U.S. at least, we don't discuss local problems at that level. We don't see local problems, you know, contributing to a civil war, for example.
Exactly. That's the point, is that I am dealing here with a culture that is really ingrained. The fact that we view national and international causes as the main drivers of conflict is something that is shared among diplomats, among United Nations officials, among academics, among virtually everybody. So basically, I am asking people to review their entire understanding of conflict and violence in the Congo and in other conflicts, and it is an uphill battle.